Justice Kennedy has the opinion of the court in case 07343, Kennedy versus Louisiana.
In this case, the petitioner was convicted by a Louisiana jury of raping his stepdaughter. She was 8 years old at the time of the crime, and in addition to mental anguish, she sustained serious physical injuries, injuries that required emergency surgery. These are described in detail in the opinion. The petitioner was sentenced to death. He challenged his sentence as cruel and unusual punishment under the 18th Amendment. That provision is applicable to the states via the 14th Amendment. The Supreme Court of Louisiana upheld the constitutionality of petitioner's death sentence. We granted certiorari to resolve the question whether the 8th Amendment bars Louisiana from imposing the death penalty for the rape of a child, where the crime did not result and was not intended to result in the death of the victim. The 8th Amendment requires that punishment for a crime be graduated and proportioned to the offense. We determine whether this requirement has been fulfilled not by the standards that prevailed when the 8th Amendment was adopted in 1791, but by considering the standards of decency that marked the progress of our maturing society. The opinion discusses the precedents which control our 8th Amendment analysis in the case, and the opinion discusses a number of Supreme Court precedents. Three of the principal cases we discuss in the opinion are these. Two are recent ones, Roper versus Simmons. That case held that the death penalty cannot be applied to a person who was under 18 when the crime was committed. Another is Atkins versus Virginia, holding the penalty cannot be imposed on a mentally retarded person. Then there's this third case that we will discuss briefly here, which is Coker versus Georgia, an older case dating from 1977. In Coker, the court held that the death penalty could not be imposed for the rape of an adult, where the crime did not result and was not intended to result in the death of the victim. The case before us, of course, involves the rape of a child. In these and other cases discussed in the opinion, the court was guided by objective indicia of society's standards as expressed in legislative enactments and state practice with respect to executions. We follow that same approach here. Based both on consensus and our own independent judgment, our holding is that this sentence does violate the 8th and 14th Amendments. The Louisiana statute is unconstitutional. The opinion reviews the history and present status of state law on the issue of capital punishment for child rape. Six states now permit the death penalty for this crime. By contrast, 45 jurisdictions, 44 states plus the federal government, prohibit the execution of child rapists. Our opinion compares these statistics with the data the court relied upon in Roper, Atkins, and in a felony murder case, Edmond versus Florida. Though our review of national consensus is not confined to tallying the number of states with applicable death penalty legislation, it is of significance that the number of jurisdictions that would prohibit petitioner's execution exceeds the number of jurisdictions we considered in those earlier precedents. The opinion also relies upon other measures of consensus, including statistics about the number of executions. No individual has been executed for the rape of an adult or child since 1964, and no execution for any other non-homicide offense has taken place since 1963. Louisiana is the only state since the court's 1972 decision in Furman that has sentenced an individual to death for the crime of child rape. Petitioner is one of only two individuals now on death row in the United States for a non-homicide offense. The state of Louisiana has argued that states have felt constrained by this court's holding in Coker. The state says that this has blocked the development of legislative consensus. We see no clear indication of this for the reasons discussed at length in the opinion. Furthermore, consensus has never been dispositive. In the end, our judgment and our own judgment must be brought to bear on the question of the acceptability of the death penalty under the 8th Amendment. It is obvious that the rape in this case caused the victim prolonged physical and mental suffering. Nonetheless, the constitutional prohibition against excessive or cruel and unusual punishments mandates that the state's power to punish be exercised in accordance with evolving standards of decency in a maturing society. It's an established principle that decency, in its essence, presumes respect for the individual and thus moderation or restraint in the application of capital punishment. And difficulties in administering the penalty to ensure against its arbitrary and capricious application, require caution at this stage of evolving standards in expanding the death penalty to an area where standards to confine its use are indefinite and obscure. We find significant the number of executions that would be allowed under respondents' approach. Approximately 5,702 incidents of rape of a child under the age of 12 were reported nationwide in the year 2005. This is almost twice the total incidence of intentional murder for victims of all ages reported during the same period. Were we to sanction the death penalty for this rape offense, the number of permissible executions could not be reconciled with our evolving standards of decency and the necessity to constrain the use of the death penalty. We hold that, as it relates to violent offenses against individual persons, the death penalty is disproportionate and an excessive punishment where death did not result from the crime. Our ruling is consistent with justifications offered for the death penalty. True, we cannot say that the death penalty would serve no retributive or deterrent function in this case, but a number of factors demonstrate the serious negative consequences of making child rape a capital offense. Seeking the death penalty for child rape forces a moral choice on the child victim who testifies. She is not of mature age to make that choice. In addition, the problem of unreliable, induced, or even imagined child testimony heightens the risk of wrongful convictions. There also is the problem of underreporting of child rape, which diminishes the penalty's deterrent effect. And by making the punishment for child rape and murder equivalent, a state that punishes child rape by death may remove a strong incentive for the rapist not to kill the victim. One last point bears mention. It has been argued that our determination that the death penalty for child rape is unconstitutional will block further consensus in favor of the penalty from developing. This concern overlooks the meaning and full substance of the established proposition that the Eighth Amendment is defined by the evolving standards of decency that mark the progress of a maturing society, and that principle requires that use of the death penalty be limited and restrained and reserved for the worst offenders and offenses. In most cases, justice is not better served by terminating the life of the perpetrator rather than confining him and preserving the possibility of rehabilitation. The judgment of the Supreme Court of Louisiana is reversed. The case is remanded for further proceedings not inconsistent with this opinion. Justice Alito has filed a dissenting opinion in which the Chief Justice and Justices Scalia and Thomas have joined.